Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We are live coming to you Wednesday, May 12th. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
Doing good. Getting ready for the prom. Proms are getting fitted for
date?
The top. Got a big date. Going to take you to Disneyland right afterwards. At 17, 18, 18 years old. They love the rides at that age. My wife finds out we got another problem, but I know. All jokes aside, all kidding aside, having a great night and glad to be here talking with you and talking hockey and Rangers and everything else that has to do with the sport that we love. And we talk 365 days a year, and we do a show once or twice a week, too. So it's great to be here, and I'm glad. I hope everybody's doing well.
As do I, and you know what? I hope the I completely forgot to start the chat room. So
yeah, I'm looking.
You do that now. I'm starting it up now. So I apologize if the chat room was not up. I don't know if I have to actually start that or if it if you can just start it on your own and it'll open up. I don't know, but I already see Dave is in there. So I apologize for not having the chat room open. I was. Having some technical issues. I'm trying to convert something to be able to play on our show later in the evening. So I'm working on that as we speak. It didn't go as planned, as few things do. But anyway, Eddie, why don't you give everybody a little preview of what we have? Dave says, good job, Jim. Thanks, Dave. Why don't you give everybody a little preview about who's coming on tonight, what we're going to talk about, and just give me a minute while I work on this and see if I can get this running.
Basically, you want me to stall. This is what you're telling me. Let's try not to play hide and seek with the audience.
Filler. If I was the director, I would be doing that stretch thing.
Right. Okay, the stretch thing. Okay. Well, tonight's guest is an absolute like. He's a favorite of mine. I had him on my show, Ranger Crisis, when I was doing the show. And now since we've come together and doing this crazy thing called Blue Shirt Banner Radio, which has just exploded, and we have a mega audience of millions. And Frank was one of my favorite guests because he told it like it is. And I was so interested and so into talking to him. Now, Frank Beaton played about 25 games with the Rangers. He played in the WHA. He was a tough hombre. Never backed down. That's how he made his bones in the league. He knew that was his job. He's an old school type of guy. And I just was, you know, I love talking old hockey. To me, that was the way the game should be played. You know, although I love today's present day hockey, there's a lot missing. We've discussed this in the past. Anyway, I talked to Frank for so long that, you know, I think Frank was under the impression that this guy's going to have me on at 15, 20 minutes. How long can he talk to me? Well, like 2 hours into it, Frank's like, I got to go, Mouth. I got to get out of here. Because Frank had other plans. You know, he didn't expect me, you know, the schmo from down in the States would talk puck with him. But I was just so interested, having a great time. I was just like, but he was fantastic. And, something happened in his life that I found out through Facebook. You know how we're all kind of like intermingled on Facebook. But I felt it needed to get out there. It was something of a tragic nature. But I also wanted the fans to hear maybe some of our newer fans who weren't privy, so to speak, to that broadcast. About things, how things used to go down in the game and the way things worked. And, of course, he's a New York Ranger, so it works both ways. We always say to them, you know, when we try to get them on, you know, once a Ranger, always a Ranger. But, you know, I felt like we could do something as fans, even though, you know, Frank wasn't with the Rangers a long time, he still put on the sweater. And that's the way I felt about it, the way I feel about it now. So we'll get to that later. Also, we are the Winnipeg Jets in the NHL or what? What's going on, folks? They're in the schedule.
Not yet.
I mean, seriously.
Not yet. Apparently, the Glendale City Council last night voted to put up the $25 million. Basically, if I understand it correctly, it's somewhat of an insurance policy to cover the NHL's losses should they not find ownership for the Phoenix Coyotes in 2010-2011. Now, they have two groups that are vying for ownership. One is the Jerry Reinsdorf group. I believe he is still the owner of the Chicago White Sox, the Chicago Bulls. But it doesn't seem like Jerry's all that interested in owning the Phoenix Coyotes. I think it's kind of like, you know, well, I've got the money. I'm a multi-billionaire. What the hell? I'll go buy a hockey team. But I really don't think he's all that excited about the project, as Dice used to say. But then the other group is Ice Age Holdings, which is a combination of American and Canadian business owners that they are more interested in buying the team. But apparently the negotiations have somewhat stalled, and the NHL had asked the city of Glendale to cover their losses, which the city council voted to do last night. I don't think it necessarily ensures that the Phoenix Coyotes will be here in Phoenix forever, but at least for the short term, they are still the Phoenix Coyotes. And let me tell you, I put this up on Facebook last night. I was looking at the Winnipeg Free Press last night. I just wanted to see how they were covering the event, because the rumor first choice, if the Phoenix Coyotes leave Phoenix, would be that they'll go back to Winnipeg from whence they came. And the Free Press was – the Winnipeg Free Press had – they had reporters live at the council meeting covering this. They were live blogging. There were 2,000 people from Winnipeg in this live blog following along, watching the Glendale City Council meeting. And it was kind of fascinating to talk to some of these people and find out, you know, just how they felt about you know, losing the team, how they felt about getting the team back, why things would be different and hockey could succeed in Winnipeg. So it was kind of interesting. I know this doesn't appeal to a lot of people out there, but how the hell with it? I thought it was kind of interesting to see what was going on there.
I think it's big news, and hockey belongs. I know you live in Phoenix, and in the area, and I know you, and I know City Hockey Fever, another guy who frequents this show, and a couple other dudes, they love Coyote hockey. But Jim, I'm about polar opposite. Well, I'm bipolar, but I'm polar opposite as well in this. Hockey belongs in Canada. And when I think of Winnipeg hockey, I think Carey Wilson, who I interviewed, just he thinks that they can get a team in there and they can support a team. And I think that's where it belongs. And to me, Phoenix Coyote hockey, I said it, I think, one of the first broadcasts. I think I wasn't even your partner. I said, Phoenix Coyote is radio ambient. It puts me to sleep. I don't want to hear about changes. I don't want to hear about sales. And this brings a little bit something I have here, is that you have a lot of teams in this league, and let's talk turkey here, that are on really financial, like a financial house of cards. And the NHL, of course, is sweeping all of this under the rug and what have you. And we know about the Atlanta Thrashers. We know about the what's that team that plays in Hempstead? The Hempstead Club in Long Island, how bad they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to talk about that, you know, when you finished or at some point. I've been wanting to talk about it for a couple of weeks, but, you know, I have some thoughts on that, and, you know, we can get into it whenever you want, but I want to, you know, go ahead and finish your thought.
I'm such a hockey nut, and I've been to a lot of arenas, including I was at the the Nationwide Arena is where the Columbus Blue Jackets play. I went there a couple of years ago. And it's a nice place, very homey. The fans really support the team. And I don't know how much their attendance is, but I know the people who were there were diehards, and they wore the colors proudly. And, you know, they haven't had much success, but still. So I got this email from the Blue Jackets, from ticketsales@bluejackets.com, and it said to me, it says, it wrote here, let me just get this, my wife put this together for me, and oh my God, it's completely discombobulated here. Come on! I mean, Mrs. Mouthfeel, let's go. I can't read this. Oh, anyway, let me see if I can read this. Yeah, this is great radio, by the way. Dear supporters, the season is over, but the problem still remains. What will be done with the Nationwide Arena and the Blue Jackets? On behalf of Forward Together, which I guess is like a lighthouse project, we are very concerned that no solution has been announced by Central Ohio leaders to the financial problems that confront the arena, team, and ultimately the district. So they have a petition here that is going to try to keep them in this district that was once a former prison district, that they like a prison. And they redid the whole place. It really looks nice. There's bars. There's place to eat out there. It's really a great setup. And it says, we also remind community leaders that the problem won't solve itself. Somebody needs to step up. So apparently the arena, the team, things are in trouble there. And you're not hearing anything of that on any of the, propaganda, TV, NHL is all solvent and great. So you can add Columbus. It's becoming a problem in their community as well. So I know you wanted to mention the Hempstead team and something else.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to. What time is Frank Beaton coming in?
I told Frank around 8:15, 8:30. So he's okay, probably calling in on Skype. So he may be a Scott guy.
Okay, so I'll keep an eye on the switchboard for him. Now, okay, we can talk about this Islander thing. I just wanted to pull up this. They're talking about a new arena for the Islanders and a casino in the works for Nassau Coliseum Nassau County. And I know a couple of people have talked about this in the chat room a couple of weeks ago, and I don't understand why. What is with the fascination with saving this team on Long Island? Can somebody explain this to me? I'm looking at their attendance, their yearly attendance.
Which
and
is
I
fake.
I just don't see the even if it's faked, it sucks.
I know.
Even
it's fake.
Even if these numbers.
Jim, I know. Listen, I don't want to cut you off. I talked to the guy that is in charge of putting the Islander attendance in, at least for their Islander blog, their Islander updates. And he told me I can't put down the real number. This was about a year and a half ago. So go ahead. Even if it's fake, it stinks, right?
Even if it's inflated, their number stinks. Everybody talks about how bad the Thrashers are doing. The Thrashers are averaging better attendance than the Islanders. You want to talk about the Coyotes? You want to talk about hockey not belonging here? Fine. But you know what? Three out of the last 4 years, the Coyotes are averaging better attendance than the Islanders. Three out of the last 4 years. Only this year did the Islanders top the Coyotes by an average of 800 people per night. Everybody talks about how bad the Panthers are doing. The Panthers are outdrawing the Islanders. What is the fascination with saving this team on Long Island? The fans have abandoned. Eddie said it 100 times. The fans have abandoned that team. The Islanders' attendance has been terrible. You go back, I'm going back 15 years. Their attendance is awful. It's terrible. What is the fascination? Are all of a sudden, if they build a new arena, are people going to show up? Sure, for about a week. Let's go see the new arena. And then you know what? If it's the, then once the fascination dies out, they'll be right back to 9,000 people a night. The only time they are putting fans in the seats there is if they're Sidney Crosby's there, Ovechkin's there, or the New York Rangers. That's the only time they are putting people in the arena. I don't. They could put a theme park. Disney World could build a theme park there, and they're still not going to fill that arena. Their attendance is terrible.
So you're Hempstead, the Disney Hempstead you're proposing?
Move them to Winnipeg. You know, people say, like Mandar just said, I got nothing against the Coyotes, but I'd rather see hockey in Winnipeg. Why not both? Move the Islanders to Winnipeg. I mean, what is the fascination with saving this team for 10,000 people and a couple of Twitter nuts?
Yeah.
Send them away. Move them out. The rivalry ain't what it used to be. I won't miss them.
No. This isn't like a Mets-Yankees thing or that, you know, and the Devils can go too. This is a one-team town. The whole metropolitan team area is locked up in the Rangers. As sad as that may be, because we're following this ridiculous team, that's the truth. The Devils don't draw, and they've won recently. The Islanders do not have a legacy of fans like Ranger fans. There was a big gap between the people that were rooted diehard for the Islanders when they had that early success in their franchise, and now you just get the fly-by-night people who hate the Rangers. Those are Islander fans. There's no real Islander fan.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, you live on Long Island, and I know some of our listeners and readers do. Are kids on Long Island, are they growing up Islander fans?
No.
I mean, are they creating new generations of fans? I just don't get it. What is the fascination with saving that team? They got to have a new arena. I don't get it.
No, it's I don't see that. I see a lot of older guys, I guess, around who remember the cup years that they had that are still wearing the Islander colors. You'll see them around. I don't talk to them, but they're around. I don't see a lot of young kids wearing Tavares jerseys. I still see Ranger kids wearing Ranger stuff, I don't know what it is. Long Island has always been a second-class citizen to the city, and rightfully so. And I think Wang, his picture of things is that he's going to make that Hempstead area and that Long Island comparable to the city. It's just not going to happen. It's just not. There's no electricity out of here. Trust me. I live here. This place is boring. And, I love the city. So just... Why, like you said, why are they force feeding, keeping the Islanders in New York? I mean, who are you abandoning? Nobody wants them. Their town doesn't want them. The county doesn't want them. Their fans surely don't want them. You can have any Freihouse projects up the yin yang, it's not happening. Their local government don't want them. Nobody wants them. So c'est la vie. Send them to, Kansas City. They got an arena waiting right there. I'll be there looking for Islander fans in July. Don't you worry. I'm on the beat. The mouth is on the beat. I'll be there at that arena.
It's going to be a world tour.
My world tour. I'm going to find the Islanders a home. I'm going to do an unselfish act, Jim. And I am going to find... I will find... Like a stray dog.
I can just picture like you see a video and you see a map and there's a little car driving on the map and you're stopping at all these small towns like Pottstown, Pennsylvania and Kalamazoo, Michigan. Have you got a place for the New York Islanders? And then the music's playing like doo 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 doo
doo doo
doo doo doo doo doo doo. I have a 205 call up on the switchboard. Could that be our guest?
I don't know. I would assume it probably is.
All right, let's take a shot here. 205-616. Is this Frank?
It is Frank. Thank you very much for having me on, guys. How are you?
All right. Let's welcome to the program. Real quick, former New York Ranger Frank Beaton, Frank, Jim, and Eddie, welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
You know, Frank, I'm glad you made this show, and, you know, we got some serious stuff we'll talk about maybe in a little bit, but I had you on my show previous, and I don't know if you heard at the beginning. I mean, we went through your whole career. It was like we were doing your biography there, but it was a lot of fun, and I really appreciated you coming back on the show. I really do.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate you having me back on, and I understand that, yeah, we're going to deal with some serious subjects in a minute. And in the meantime, I was watching the Penguins go down 3-0 to Montreal, which is absolutely unbelievable. So, I mean, there's a lot of people watching that game on the edge of their seats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you believe, I mean, and you're a Montreal Canadian fan, as I remember, so you must be pretty happy about this.
Well, it's great that they're doing so well, but I got to be honest with you. If I was a betting guy, I'd be losing a lot of money right now. They come in on the, you know, they barely make the freaking playoffs. They beat the Capitals. Now they're up 3-0 on Crosby and the Penguins. Who'd have thunk it? You know?
Right. And you imagine what Gary Bettman's thinking. No Ovechkin and no Crosby. He's got to be losing what hairs he has left on his bald head at this point.
Yeah, they might want to think about putting a few more franchises up in Canada. What do you think? Like Winnipeg, maybe.
you know, it's not just Bettman having a heart attack. So's NBC.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The two big stars, their poster child, they're going to be on the sidelines. That's unbelievable. It really is.
I can't wait to see them promote Scott Gomez for the conference finals.
Well, I'll tell you, I couldn't be happier. I mean, Scott Gomez had a rough time here in New York, but I'm glad. I like to see the underdogs beat the big boys. I've always been an underdog, and the Habs, and Halak has just played so awesome. He's been fantastic. You know, when you get a hot goaltender, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. You can go as far as he can take you. I mean, let's face it. So, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, you can, like in the Olympics, there was one game. You know, guys get lucky in one game. But when you go in seven games, you got to give credit to the guys that's going to win a seven-game series. I mean, you just got to give them credit. That's the end.
That's right. Yeah, that's for sure. Seven games, that's a real test of who the better team is. I mean, really, you play one or two games. It was like the whole they used to have the best of three in the hockey and NHL playoffs. I always thought that was such a waste because in three games, anything can happen. I mean, you get lucky, bounce here, you win a game, and steal another one, and you're on. Now, I want to, for people who are not familiar with Frank Beaton was a tough hombre. He was a tough guy. He made his bones playing, you know, sticking up for teammates, and he played some decent hockey. He was a capable hockey player. But can you tell us, Frank, just go back and tell us how you got into professional hockey, like as far as maybe starting with the IHL, then your WHA career, and then coming to the Rangers.
Well, I mean, obviously, how do I get into professional hockey? It starts in your little rinks at home in Antigonish. That's where it starts. You do that, and then all of a sudden, I left there, and I ended up going to play in Sarnia and Windsor in the OHL. And from there, I played a couple of years in the IHL. Went from there, played 3 years in the World Hockey, and got a shot when Freddie Sherrill wanted me to come to to the Rangers, so obviously, and then of course that turned out as it did, and I spent a lot of time in New Haven, which I enjoyed. We had a great team there, and a couple more years in the Central Hockey League after that, and that's about it in a nutshell. But I enjoyed every single bit of it. It was good. You know, I met a lot of great people. I still meet a lot of great people because of it, and it was good for me. I mean, that's what I wanted to do, and I did it, so what else can you say, you know?
Right. And, you know, and you came from such a small town. I mean, I did a little research on, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Antigonish. Is that correct?
That is correct. You got it, Andy Kanish.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, I got to give a shout out for another kid that came out of Andy Kanish who really put it on the map was Paul McLean, who's the assistant coach in Detroit right now, being considered for the job in Columbus right now, and a great kid, one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet in your life. When he comes to New York, you got to go up and say hello because he goes back to Andy Kanish every summer, and he's a great guy, and he really really had a tremendous professional NHL career. He played for Canada in the Olympics and so on.
As well? I think he was Winnipeg Jets.
That's correct, yeah. He played in Winnipeg, Detroit, and St. Louis.
Yeah, he was a hell of a hockey player. You're right. I didn't know that. And there's a couple Frank Beaton stories before we get to the serious stuff that I love. See, I remember all these stories, Frank. See, when people talk to me, they think, I'm just off in some kind of la-la land. I listen. And it's always good to have the old audio tape to go back to, too. But there's one story you told me about how Mark Howe saved your life during a game. And do you remember that story?
Well, of course I remember that story. But I got to tell you this, too, Mo. I don't tell that story, and I think I might have. You might have been the first time I publicly told that story, and what a venue to do it on your show, because everybody in the world heard it, I'm sure. But it's a true story. It's a true story, and it's kind of funny looking back on it, but it's true. The guy literally saved my life. Think about it. I was turning the stick down with Gordie Howe, who was about to do me in. I can't even imagine what would have happened if I was 25 and he was 25, let alone me being 25 and him being 50. But at any rate, Mark came up behind me, knocked me down, and then, we got into, one of those whatever it was. But was I ever happy that somebody came and saved my life?
Gordy was looking to carve you up, I guess, pretty good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was pretty serious there. I'll tell you what, it was scary. It was scary for me, anyway. I don't think he was scared. I was scared.
I'm getting scared here. It's 30 years, 30 odd some years later. I'm scared for you. And that always resonates that story with me, And then, of course, the old Frank Beaton. We hate to say it, but, we have a lot more fans. The old gas station story, which has followed you around, and even the Internet still got a hold of the story. You can pick it up. But let me save that for a later time because I don't want to get into two negative things. Because we got a kind of a serious thing to get here to, and I want to preface by saying, the Facebook is good in a lot of ways. A lot of people talk about, you get to see what's going on in other people's lives and a lot of the ex-players. And I had a chance to peruse Frank's Facebook page, and I'm looking through it, and I came upon a page dedicated to your cousin. Your cousin was brutally murdered, and there's no other way to put it. And can you tell the fans out there here in the States? I mean, we heard no hide nor hair of it because it was, again, in your hometown there. It happened in a very small town. Can you tell us what happened to your cousin and what transpired and what's going on? Because I really want I know a little bit about it, but I don't know the whole deal.
Well, Melvin, I'll tell you what happened. I mean, obviously, Andy Kanish is a very small town. This kind of stuff just does not happen in Andy Kanish. Now, don't get me wrong. If a couple of guys want to settle an issue, those guys in Andy Kanish, and especially like my cousin who's a lobster fisherman, I was born and raised on a farm. If you had issues, there was no problem going outside, and we did it many a times, and they still do. They'll settle it. And best man win, you go have a beer, and that's the end of it.
Right.
What happened in this particular case? It's New Year's Eve. Some of the local kids are having a party, and they're in basically some guys from Halifax, Dartmouth, which is 2.5 hours away from Andy Kanish, drove down to Andy Kanish, and came into this party. So that's fine. That's fine. They're having a party, but anyway, things get out of whatever happened. Nobody thought anything like this was, going to come to the extent that it did. But this guy was having an argument with a young lady. My cousin John said, wait a minute now, you don't do this, you know, you can't talk to this person. Well, however, it developed where the guy took offense to what my cousin was saying, and at that point, you know, started stabbing him and stabbed him repeatedly. Obviously,
did he stab him in the bar right there, or did he?
No. This wasn't the bar. This was a quiet little It was a quiet little New Year's Eve party in a little house in one of the streets in Antigonish, friends got together and brought in the New Year. This wasn't a rowdy bar. This wasn't any kind of anything, you know, like a street fight. It wasn't anything like that. It was a house party where people were having a good time, and that's what you do in Antigonish. You sit around with your friends and you have a good time. You work hard and you play hard. They were, at this point, they're bringing in the New Year. Some guys from out of town came to the party. That's all right. You can come to our party. But then it developed into what happened. So that's what it is. Not to conjure up anything about a bar. Not, you know, anything about all that. It was some guys from Halifax, which is 2.5 hours away. They came to town, came to the party, and this is what they ended up doing. So that's how it happened. And then by the time the Mounties showed up, this guy is, you know, he's already absconded. He took off back to Halifax, went underground, and he's at large right now.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's just, it's so disheartening. I mean, especially in a little town like this, and you got some outsiders come in, and they're welcomed into a party, you know, we're having a party here. And like you said, you know, a lot of people nowadays, they'll frown upon, settling things with the fist and the fisticuffs. But a lot of times, that's an okay thing. I mean, you know, whether people like it or not, you know, you have an argument, you duke it out, and that's it. But when you got a guy like this who, I mean, come on. I mean, a coward. I mean, he couldn't just go outside and settle it the old-fashioned way. You duke it out, what have you, and he winds up killing somebody. It's just absolutely horrible.
That's exactly right, and I got to tell you, when like I said earlier, I mean, when I was a kid coming through, and I got friends today, but looking back when I was a kid, that's how we settled our arguments. But it doesn't mean we're friends today. You know, nobody shot anybody, nobody stabbed anybody, and you just did it. But then you know next day or that same night you're having a beer together. That's just what happens. It's a small town, you know.
Right.
It's a small town, and everybody's close. And this is a young guy. He and his brother are fishing lobsters. They took over his late dad's lobster fishing business. That's what he's doing. And I mean, you know, he's just a hardworking kid making an honest living. And then you got some of these punks that come in from out of town. They were welcomed into a party or whatever, and it developed into this. He's gone now. He's at large. He could be anywhere. And the idea, and obviously with the immediate family, is going through hell, because this guy is out there, and there's their son, their brother, he's gone. And this guy is at large. So what we're trying to do is get the word out. We want as many people as possible to know what's going on. His picture is on Facebook with us. His picture is on the most wanted list with the RCMP in Canada. Anybody can access it. They can call the tip line. They can call the RCMP if they happen to see this guy, even if you think you recognize this guy. So, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. That's why I'm so grateful to you guys for having me on and allowing me to get this message out. So I appreciate that very much, too.
There's no need to thank me. I tell you, the reason I got interested in this, and I told Jim about it, is I went to the site where it's in honor of John, and I read everybody's emotions and what they were saying. I mean, it went from ran the gambit from really angry, which, hey, listen, I would be out of my wits if this happened. And then you read the grief from the family, and they want some kind of closure by getting this bum caught, this son of a bitch caught. because this guy has to be brought to justice in order for anything to move on. And I find it so odd. Not odd, but how did this kid, I mean, I don't know where he could be. Who would be hiding this guy? I mean, and you look at the kid, and you're right when you say he looks like a punk. He looks like a punk. And I can't believe in, and then, you know, I don't want to get too heavy into this, but then I look into the kid. The kid's a young kid. Now, I don't know how old John was. How old was John when he was murdered?
25 years old.
That's unbelievable. And this guy, what you call it, he's a young-looking kid, and you're like, this guy's a murderer. And I don't, believe me, I have no empathy for him or compassion. But it's just so sad that a young life had to be taken at the hands of this fool. And I figured, you know, internet radio goes everywhere. We have listeners in Australia, the United Kingdom, you know, and granted, we're not broadcasting the millions. I just figured, you know, let's give it a shot, you know,
That's exactly right, and you know as well as I do, there's a lot of Rangers fans all over the world, and you have a lot of Rangers fans that are going to be listening to this all over Canada in the major cities and the big cities that where this guy could possibly go and, you know, kind of get into the underground or whatever you do when you're running and hiding like a coward. But the fact is, you know, we're going to try to reach these people. We're going to let people know. And I can tell you that the family is not going to sit by until this guy is he's got the justice due to him. You know what I mean?
Right. And then can you tell the people out there how they can somehow help in this cause or where to go if they actually do see this guy or think they've even seen this guy?
Well, the RCMP has warned that he could possibly, he's obviously armed and dangerous, and they say, you know, don't approach, and don't approach him or whatever. But obviously, the RCMP has a tip line or call the local detachment of the RCMP and notify them, even if you think you know where this guy is or you think you've seen him, to call the local detachment of the RCMP. There's a tip line posted on my Facebook page. Or, you know, it's, you know, in Canada, I'm assuming that he's in Canada because I doubt very much, very seriously, that he's come to the States, although Jamaica.
Right, you read about that, yeah.
Yeah, they put him on their most wanted list also because, you don't need a passport to go down there. So he could possibly be down there, but I can't imagine that he's down there. He's got like a
story. I'll say it. He's a pale white guy. And he, like you said, he would stick out like a sore thumb down there in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
But at any rate, though, the thing is, you know, we just want people to know this. We appreciate we got over 7,000 people on the Justice for John Facebook page, people who have signed on and people who are acknowledging the fact that this something needs to be done. And it's growing and growing every day. And, you know, the point is, though, it's not dwindling. This isn't dwindling. And
right.
At some point, somebody is going to turn this guy in. He's going to get caught. We just want it sooner than later.
Exactly. They always get caught in the end. Let's face it. What this guy should
do is
turn himself in. But,
yeah.
Jim, do you have any questions for Frank or about the Justice for John? So everybody go to that Justice for John Facebook page if you want to just, you know, show the family your support. We're Ranger fans, we're hockey fans, and more important, we're decent human beings here. So whatever you guys can do will be.
I just put the link to the Facebook page in our chat room, Frank, for you. And all of our – everybody that takes part in our chat, they're on Facebook, so – so we'll get some more people to join up, and just by spreading the word, hopefully this guy can be found. Just a quick question: have you guys reached out to America's Most Wanted to see if they'll help and at least put his picture on there?
I don't know that they have He'd have a hard time getting into the States. I mean, with the border, the way things are now at the border, other than Arizona, of course.
Frank, I live in Arizona. Don't get me started.
All right, I won't get you started, Jim. All right. But anyway, guys, listen, let me tell you, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Mel, thank you very much for coming onto the site and contacting and offering to do this. It really means a lot, and I can promise you, if you haven't seen the activity on my Facebook page, because of what you guys have done this evening, you need to go on there and have a look. You guys have just gotten a lot of fans from a little town in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, I promise you a lot of them have become Ranger fans, not because of anything I ever did, but because of what you guys are doing. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. We love Antigonish, Nova Scotia. We
there
love them. We need Ranger fans, and I need one of those bagpipes.
Yeah, man.
That's your thing, right?
I'm a piper. I mean, who's this Heatley guy? I thought he can't play. I want to do dueling bagpipes with this guy Heatley. Who's he?
All right, Frank. You take care, and hopefully next time we speak, this guy will be caught.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. Jim, thank you. Mel, thank you very much.
Take care, we'll talk soon,
okay?
Frank,
okay.
Our pleasure. Come back anytime.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Good night.
I feel good. I feel like I did something good, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Anything we can do to get the word out about something like this, we're all for it.
No, I'm always jokes and the whole thing, but then, when it's serious time, I was reading that thing for John, and it just got to me. I don't know. Because I just want this guy to be caught and for the family to get better, because you can't. It's 25. I can't even imagine losing somebody at 25. But anyway, enough of that for now. But like Jim said, he's going to put it up and he put it up in the chat room and guys, show the family we're in the Ranger. We're caring human beings. We might be son of a bitches during hockey talk, but we're caring human beings when it comes to the real stuff. I already know that anyway. Everyone who listens to the show is a quality human being. Maybe a little crazy, but you're quality. All right, so what are we going to talk about next in Rangerland?
They're more than a little crazy.
Oh, crazy. Let me tell you what goes on. I mean, sometimes this show just takes on a whole different thing. I got a call from Jim after the show, the day after the last show, and he's like, what's going on with this chat? It's crazy. We're going to need monitors in here. Everybody is saying something, and this guy is saying something to somebody else, and I'm just saying, let them have their fun, and let it police itself, and hopefully it'll work out. Now,
yeah, my whole take on it is, you put 50, 60, 75, 100 people together in a chat room, and I understand there's going to be personality clashes, and not everybody's going to get along, but let's remember why we're all here, because we're all Ranger fans, and we're just trying to have a good time. So everybody just have fun, and, just because there's women in the chat room doesn't mean it's Match.com or Ashley Madison. And, come in here under one name, not 12, and let's just have some fun. You want to take a couple of phone calls?
Yeah,
and then I got a couple of... And then I got a couple of things for you, and I have something. And I know that nobody likes having their cockles warmed more than you do. And my friend, tonight we're gonna warm up your cockles.
Oh, I need my cockles warmed up.
We'll get to that in a few. Let's take our first call of the evening. 201-788. You are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? Hello? 201-788, you're on Blue Shirt Fan Radio. Yes? Who's this?
What's going on, Jim? This is Robbie. What's going on?
Robbie,
hey,
what's
Robbie,
the code,
bro?
Good. So what I want to tell you.
Wait a minute. Robbie.
Yeah.
Robbie. What's the code word?
Fat bastard.
All right. Welcome to the program, Robbie.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Is the code word called fat bastard?
Robbie, Robbie was worried that someone might imposter him this evening. So I said, well, here, give this code word, and you say that, and I'll know what you're talking about. Next week, we'll change the code word. This is like Colonel Flag.
All right. Well, there's one thing. I completely agree with you about the Islanders moving to Queens because, first of all, I mean, both of you guys know I'm a Mets fan, and having to go to Citi Field and look at the new arena and having the Islanders there would just be horrific. It would be horrible to go to Citi Field for years and see the Islanders arena right next to them. That is it would be good to get rid of those chop shops, like with those illegal car shops. Are you guys familiar with that area, like right next to Citi Field?
Well, I was just going to say that. What are they going to do if they put an Islanders arena there? They're going to bulldoze the chop shops and put all those poor guys out of work? How's the mafia going to feel about that?
Well, they're illegal anyway, so. But the thing is, the only people going to Islanders games are fans that are on Long Island. They don't have any fans outside of Long Island. Not in Queens, not in Brooklyn.
No.
It's just all... Right. Like, no one's going to go there, even if it is a new arena. And it's just, I don't understand. I mean, it would just be horrible. And, you know, Jeff Wilpon, you guys know who Wilpon is, like the Mets owner? Or the
The boy kid.
Yeah, the idiot. But it's just, first of all, the only good thing is that he would screw up the Islanders even more like he's screwing up the Mets. That's the only positive if he buys them. Now, it's seriously, because he doesn't know baseball, so he's out. It's worse with hockey. It's just. I don't know. That would be horrible just to go there.
Let me ask both of you guys this question. Where did this rumor come from? Is this substantiated or is this just something that's been floating around the interwebs?
This is real. This was on the Mets blog, not even the Rangers. This was on Mets blog, and it was real. This is an actual thing. Jeff Wilpon actually talked to Charles Wong. And it's just, I can't believe it.
What a horrible investment. Why would you do this? I mean, I can't see why. And again, I go with Jim. Why do you have to keep him in New York? What is the fascination? When I think of New York City, I don't think of the New York Islanders.
That's exactly.
As a matter of fact, when I think of Long Island, I don't think of the New York Islanders. I'm thinking of the Hamptons.
Well, actually, there's one thing. My friends, I told my friend who's a big Devils fan, and he can't stand the Rangers, and he actually likes to taunt me just about the Islanders just because he feels like it. And he said, well, the fans that the Islanders do have are passionate, and that, you know, he wishes that they would stay there because they deserve to see their team win. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, they may be passionate. I mean, listen, the fans is the derivative of the word fanatic is fan, so they better be passionate.
He thinks that they're nice people out there and they're very good fans, better than Rangers fans, so.
What? No. Get rid of that friend. He's a moron.
You need to pick better friends.
Yeah, I mean, come on. But Rangers fans are the most dedicated fans out there.
He says
they have nothing
feral.
To
he
show.
Says, he says.
What does he say? Tell me what he says.
He said that
we're
fair weather and that we vandalized Prudential Center.
We vandalized. They live in Newark. They play in Newark. I mean, vandalism is inherent over there. I mean, come on. The place, it's like Normandy over there. It's Omaha Beach, every man for himself. Give me a break, vandalize.
Yeah.
Slap him around, Robbie.
But there's also one other thing that totally changed the subject. The thing with Wade with Redden, are they...
Wait, Red!
Yeah.
Why are we talking about it?
I'm just wondering how... Look, if they were to send him down, is all of his contract, like, gone? Is it, like, done?
No,
like,
They pay him, but he's off the cap.
Really?
If he remains
for 4 years, though. So yeah, but he's like, so like the, he'll be there for 4 years though, right? All the rest of the contract, that he's not coming back up, most likely.
He should not be up in an NHL sweater of any kind, unless it's for the Islanders.
So his it doesn't count. All right, so would they be under the salary cap then if he goes down there?
Yeah.
That's six million. More than $6 million. $6.5 million.
That's right.
So why don't they do that with Roosevelt?
Because Michael Roosevelt, in my opinion, is still serviceable. Even though I believe he's a tad overpaid, I think Michael Roosevelt is a capable defenseman. I don't think he's great. I think his offense, what he could contribute offensively, is gone. And there is a chance that Roosevelt could be moved to another team. A team Think of trying to move me from an all-you-can-eat buffet of mashed potatoes and soft-serve ice cream. That's about, you're not going to move me, and you're not going to move Wade Wren to any other team, because it's just not happening. And Costa, he's starting with me, but Rosie sucked. Listen, I'm not saying he's an all-star back there, but I'm saying that he could play he played a good second half of the season.
That's
he's
true,
capable.
Yeah, and I think that we got to lay off a little bit. And he could be tradable at the trade deadline, so you never know. But the thing is, though, he has no wheels to him. Like, it's just, it has, like, no, he can't skate well.
Well, I'm sick of the Roosevelt on the power play. He doesn't shoot. He pants, always looking for Yager. Meanwhile, Yager hasn't been there in 2 years, 3 years. So,
exactly.
You know, yes. I wouldn't have no problem seeing Roosevelt gone, but they got to address the Renton situation. The Mary Lou Renton has to be ousted. He has to be eradicated. Eradicated.
Right. They'll send them down. But by the way, just tell me one thing. Your video, the song, like your intro theme is excellent. I love it. I just had to get that out there.
For this show?
Yeah, for this show. It's cool. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much, Robbie.
Yeah. So what else was I going to say?
Next on your list.
I forgot. Oh, I'm trying to think. What was? Oh, yeah, that's under. You guys, are you guys fans on the official Rangers page on Facebook? The official page?
Yes.
Anything that's official, I will not join.
Why not?
Because it's propaganda, Robbie.
What do you mean?
Everything you get from the Rangers is propaganda, vanilla, non-controversial crapola.
Oh, no, they talk trash on there, but this is what I was going to say. It's that usually when it says...
John Geonome?
No, the Rangers fans.
Man. The only Ranger fans I listen to are the ones that go to BlueShirtBandit.com, RangerCrisis.com, and the people that talk and post here at this show. Otherwise, they all can screw themselves. And I also listen to people in Antigosh, Nova Scotia now, because those people rule. Next.
That's right.
Yeah, but I was going to say, usually when it says write something, it doesn't say anything. Like, no one can post anything anymore. And one of my friends told me that it's because the idiots from here in Jersey kept coming on our page and posting stuff on it about trash on our team, and that they just, like, paused it all, like, just shut it down all because of the Devils.
Shut it down for the summer? What do you want? That's what happens.
Kremlin decided
that it was getting too crazy. People were having too much fun. The Devil fans and Ranger fans were going at it. So we're going to shut down all the fun. So let's get rid of everybody.
Всеобщая декларация прав человека. Статья.
Is that what it says when you go to the page now?
That's a statement from the Rangers.
Who is that?
That's Gwen Smith's secretary.
Oh, I had to.
Ava Braun. Oh, she was German.
Lovely. Hey, one last one. All right, here.
All right,
Robbie. We got to run.
I'm sorry, then. I'll speak tomorrow. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right, Robbie. Hey, listen.
I'm going to finish.
Wait, what? I can talk, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just in general, with Sather, do you think it's getting up to the ice?
Terrible.
No, is it getting up to the Isaiah Thomas level? If you know what that is. If you remember that, it has to be.
I wish he would pull on Isaiah Thomas so we can get rid of him. I don't know who he could fool around with, but maybe Betty White when she was in town.
It's hard to sexually harass women at the Garden when you're always in Southern California. You're at the Kremlin in Palm Springs or wherever it is he lives.
He's in Alberta too. Frank Beaton played with Glenn Sather on Edmonton in the WHA. Sather was the captain.
We gotta ask about that.
There was enough pressure to get rid of Isaiah, so I think that we got to organize another rally. I'm serious, another fire, and make sure there's got to be more people there.
Yes, we will organize another rally. You mentioned Isaiah too much for me. Now you have to go because I hate basketball. Take care, Robbie.
All right, Robbie. Appreciate it.
Robbie, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. I'll speak to you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, Robbie, now, with his speaking question. Of Speaking of Glenn Sather, I dug this one up, and Jim, maybe you can play it if you can find it. This is Glenn Sather talking about why, it's very short, but talking why he took Brashear over Colton Moore.
Let's see if we got it. All right, here we go.
And why Brashear rather than Orr?
Well, we think that Brashear gives you a couple of other things. He's quicker. He can get in on the puck a little faster, and under the style of game that we're going to be playing, we just think that he's going to be a little more effective for us.
He's quicker. He's off his beam, as you would say. I've seen black, as Bugs Bunny used to say, I've seen black sprat molasses in January that was faster than Donald Brashear. Jeez, I fall down the stairs faster than that guy skates.
You know what my favorite part is? Wait again. The guy is asking the question. Goes, why? Play it again. Why?
And why Brashear rather than Orr?
Well, we think that Brashear gives you a couple of other things. He's quicker. He can get in on the puck a little faster, and under the style of game that we're going to be playing, we just think
style.
That he's going to be a little more effective for us.
What style?
Non-playoff
dependent style?
Oh, my God. He's quicker.
Why?
How the guys with the Nets didn't show up as soon as he said that, I have no idea. I mean, it's just...
He's 37.
I'm not going to help you make an idiot out of yourself.
I don't need your help. I'll do it myself.
He's quicker than the puck. Oh, my God. I just picture him sitting like when they committed Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street, sitting in Bellevue in the straitjacket. He's quicker for the puck.
He's quicker.
Wait. I think let me see if I can time this just right.
On Lost.
And why Brashear rather than Orr?
Well, we think that Brashear gives you a couple of other things. He's quicker. He can get in on the puck a little faster, and under the style of game that we're going to be playing, we just think that he's going to be a little more effective for us.
I'm sorry. love, I love the guy stammering on that question. Why?
He's quicker.
Quicker.
Oh my
God.
Oh.
Who told him that?
I have to take a break. I have to go to a commercial. I might have to play the Mitch Hedges spot. Oh, wait.
You're like a Kentucky fried idiot.
Oh, my God. He's quicker to the puck. Oh, he gives us a few things we don't have. He gives us a few things we don't have. All right, so what does this tell you? So let's set the scene, Ranger fans. Picture it. Palm Springs, California, 2009, the off-season meetings. All right, there's a few things we don't have, and I think we need to go get Donald Brashear. Well, Glenn, why do we need to go get Donald Brashear? What are those things that we're missing? Well, a slow black guy that can't fight. We can get that. a goon for Hartford. What things were they missing that Donald Brashear?
A guy was out for a week and a half because of body sores. His body was sore. That's not it. I'm sorry. You can't be out on missing games because your body is sore. It's called hockey, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's playing with sore something.
Oh,
God.
Oh, my God.
That absolutely cracked me up. I got to take a rest.
And why Brashear rather than Orr?
Well, we think that Brashear gives you a couple of other things. He's quicker. He can get in on the puck a little faster. And under the style of game that we're going to be playing, we just think that he's going to be a little more effective for us.
What style of play were they going for?
Rocky said he should be on Dance with the Stars.
What's our style? If our style was the Golden Girls, throw the puck in the corner and see who gets there first. Oh, look, Brashear beat out B. Arthur for the puck. Oh, my God. He's quicker to the puck. The man is crazy. It's just, no, I mean, oh, my God. I thought the Wade Redden thing was funny, but he may have outdone himself. I don't know. We might have to put this to a vote. I mean,
this is Kevin Greenstein from the New York Sun. Glenn, just wanted to get your sense on Wade Redden, what he's going to add to the Rangers blue line core, and what you're thinking moving forward with regard to the defense.
Well, he's an experienced defenseman. He's been an all-star twice in the league. He's in our opinion, the best first passer in the game today. He moves the puck up exceptionally. He's somebody that we had targeted immediately. He was our number one guy in defense, you know, as well as Roosevelt. We wanted to get them both signed, and we did. And we're quite happy that we've got them. And we think that it's going to help move the puck to the forwards as well as anybody in the league today.
You are my number one. Guy. He's fucking insane. Oh, God.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
I think Glenn gets fed this. I can't. How could you? I don't know. We gotta move on, Jim. Now my eyes here, and I can't go on if we continue with this.
Okay. Really, what's funny is that between my, you know, between getting a little older in life and the fact that, you know, I'm on this diet and I'm drinking a lot of water and a lot of liquid, I'm up about three times in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And I just know that at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be standing there trying to pee, giggling about this.
Just put some paper towels down.
Yeah, I might need to just go out. I might need to go outside tonight. All right, we got a bunch of phone calls on the switchboard, and we're going to get to all you guys in just a minute. And Dave, yes, I will play your request. Just a second. He's quicker than the buck. Oh my God! Anyway, all right. You know, this, as we've talked about before, Blue Shirt Banner Radio is not just sweeping the nation, but we're getting popular across the pond. And one of our good buddies who emails me almost every day, Chris Smith, he's over in the UK, and he listens to the show. He catches us on the podcast because when we go on the air, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning for him, and he always feels bad that he can't listen to the show live and can't contribute. So Chris and I came up with a little idea where he sent me some recordings for us that I told him we'd play on the show, and he did a really great job, and he wanted to put forth a question for everybody. And so Blue Shirt Banner is going to go spanning the globe here, and bear with me because this is in four separate parts. They're all really short, but he did it on his iPhone, so we had to keep the files short. So here we go.
Hello, Jim and Eddie, and everyone at Blue Shirt Banter Radio. No, it's not Daniel Craig. It's Chris calling from England.
Wow.
Jim kindly invited me to ask you guys a question. And my question is, before I became a huge fan of Henrik, my favorite player was Mike Richter. What was it like to watch Mike Richter at the Garden? Thank you, Jim and Eddie, for allowing me to record this message and to play on the show. You guys are great, along with people like John from Paramus, DB Maven, Jackie Lambeau, just a few to mention. You Ranger fans are...
Oh,
and
off
just
here,
so you know, even I can see Wade...
I don't know why it didn't take that whole file, but he says...
Wade...
Wade Redden is shit, is what he says. I don't know why it didn't take his whole file there, but I think maybe the files were too big. I'll have to work on that a little bit better for next week. But there's Chris from the UK checking in, and we appreciate it. He is a huge fan of our show. He loves listening to us on his way to work and laughing. And I know. I, Chris, I hope you pull over before you hear the thing about Brashear, because he's usually telling me how funny we are. So Chris, we appreciate it, and maybe we'll make that a weekly thing. You send us a question we can talk about, and we'll call it Blue Shirt Banner Across the Pond or something like that. So Chris, thank you very much, and Eddie, I know you appreciate hearing stuff like that we're reaching out to fans like that.
Well, yeah, first of all, that was great. And I want to answer his question. I was actually there when Mike Richter got the concussion that ended his career. It was against Calgary, I'm pretty sure. I had just walked into the game, and Mike Richter was a goaltender that is on the bubble for the Hall of Fame. He probably won't make it, unless they really count heavily his USA contributions. But if he had a better team playing in front of him for the majority of his time here, he would be in the Hall of Fame. He was a fantastic goaltender, akin to Henrik, where he had to be the difference on a lot of nights. He was a fantastic goalie, about as humble as they come. And just watching him was exciting. And if you go back and you watch that Devils series, and there's a couple saves in there that are just unbelievable. And he was the man. I mean, he really was. And now Henrik's the man. And I think, you know, it's funny. You know, if I ever had to come down to whether I want a Mike Richter or Henrik Lundqvist, I mean, it's a good problem to have. I mean, Although I think Henrik faces a lot more high percentage shots. The Rangers, because the Rangers are worse, if that's imaginable. They face so much. The puck is in their zone so much. So, but I mean, Richter's got the cup, and I don't want to start an argument who's better. But Mike Richter was an absolute pleasure to watch, and you were. And the Rangers have been blessed in that way. They've always had good goaltending for a lot amount of years. There were some years. There were the McLean years, the Mike Dunham years, the John Davidson years. Even though they went to the cup, everybody says that. But there were a couple. But then we had Van Beesbrook, who I know Mandar hates, but Johnny Fine Van Fivehole. That's what he used to call Van Beesbrook. But Van Beesbrook had a nice run here. Richter had a great, awesome run. Lundqvist is having it. We had Eddie Jacobin and Gilles Vellemire for all those years. So that's just great. That made everything's made my night tonight. God, it's a great show, and to hear from him, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for that.
My take, Mike Richter, I don't know if there aren't many goaltenders. I'm sure there's been a few, but I can't say that there were many goaltenders that could go pipe to pipe faster than he could. I mean, he was just an amazingly athletic goaltender. And he kind of came into the league at a time where goalies weren't known for being an athlete. And I mean, the guy, there were stories on the Rangers at the time that he could bench press more than anybody on the team. If you ever got a look at the guy, he had huge mammoth legs on him. I mean, he was built like
a
fullback was.
You know, you're not going Patrick Runway on me, are you? Yeah.
I didn't talk about what he's wearing.
I'm a little light in the loafers, so to speak. Because they're always talking about that. You remember, during the season, I'll just digress here for a second, because and I'm not making fun of you. Well, I am. I'm kind of ratting you. But they're always talking about, look at the size on this guy. Or remember when Al and Micheletti or one of those goofballs was talking about, oh, I saw Ovechkin. Did you see Ovechkin's six-pack in the dressing room? And they're saying this on the air, and I'm going, this is inappropriate for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe I'm a little bit too sensitive when it comes to that. But my favorite one was when Sam uttered the words, the intent to blow. Was the intent to blow there? Remember that?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that one.
Oh, that was great. Anyway, so go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. I have a quick update on the game here. Let me check it out. Looks like it's 4-2 still. I can't tell how much time is left. 13:20 left in the third period. 4-2 Canadians. They're being outshot 29-18. So let's get you back to the phones. What do you say?
We'll
run. What's that?
Penguins are out shooting Montreal?
Yeah, 29-18.
49?
29. It's not a Ranger game. Yeah, you were. All right. Let's get some of these nuts on the phone, because I know that everybody wants to hear the roll call, and we want to make sure we leave time for it. So, 201-248, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Jim, how are you?
I'm well. Is this John?
Yes, it is. Hey,
wait,
Eddie.
Wait, you don't say hello to Eddie?
Hello, Mal.
What is he on the pay no mind? Who is he, a Mirage?
Yeah, basically. How are you guys?
Insulting the hosts. That ain't the way to start it off.
I love the interview today, guys.
A bunch of
great
garbage.
Job. Hey, watch it. Guys
right,
are mean.
So what's going on, John? What's on your mind?
Oh, God, you guys crack me up tonight. You guys are cracking me up. Oh, God, how about them Rangers?
Yeah, John?
No, how about the Montreal Canadiens? I'm sorry, how about them Canadiens?
I thought you were an Islander fan.
Oh, yeah, Islanders. Yeah, yeah, let's throw them to Jersey. Throw them to Jersey. Maybe they combine the Devils and the Islanders. Maybe they'll get a full house.
Eddie, is there any truth to the rumor that John is going to be joining you on your world tour to find the Islanders a home, since he's such a big fan, needs to find a place to hoist that pot band jersey to the rafters?
Well, I am going to be going to Toronto at the end of the month, so maybe I will be partaking in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and maybe with my Sather shirts and everything. See the Glenn Sather Edmonton Oilers memorabilia over there.
Well, that could be.
John Newman going to Toronto.
Crossing the border, people. 10 o'clock news, Fox 5.
You might get into Canada. There's not a chance in hell you get back into the States.
Why? Why is that?
I don't know. I'm sure you'll have some smuggled up your rear end or something.
Thanks, Jim. I'll make sure to send it to Glendale, Arizona for you.
Yeah, wrap it in your pot band jersey.
Yeah, my pod van jersey. Okay.
Come on. What do you got, Newman?
What do I got? I got you, Matt. Let's go. Bring it. Bring it to Jersey. Bring your Islanders to Jersey. I'll show them where to go.
No, that wasn't me. That was Jim.
Yeah. Oh, bring it, Jim. Bring it to Jersey, Jim. I got you a one-way ticket to Jersey, okay? My greatest moments for Richter, I hate to say it, was 94, and I was there. Also, the fact when it's the only moment they actually show on the Jumbo on the Garden Vision every time the Rangers play. Saved by Richter. That's all they show. And he saved our season there. And then I was there for his induction also, which was amazing.
Who do you like better, Richter or Lundqvist?
I hate to say it, I go old school. I'm going Richter. I'm sorry, Richter.
And I heard that on the Facebook there you were you had a job interview with a collectibles thing. How'd that go?
Not taking it. They lowballed me big time.
It happens in the world of collectibles.
Yeah, and I also got my stuff appraised today from an appraiser, a sports appraiser. Six digits.
Nice.
Yes, with everything.
Very nice. Drinks are on you when I come.
Yeah, the seats are on me, Jim. I don't know about the drinks, but the seats are on me.
All right, John. Well, thanks for checking in. We're going to take some other calls. All right, buddy, we got a full switchboard now. We kept everybody on hold.
Let's go, Montreal. Can you keep me on hold, Jim? I'm out of my computer.
Sure.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right, John's on hold, and we will move along. 631-493, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Yes, this here is Donald Brashear. What do you mean I'm not quitting? I flow like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Oh, boy.
And I pity the fool Sather that gave me up.
That's even wrong.
Because I got body sores all over my place. What's up, guys?
What's up? Okay, who is this really?
Really? This is Claude Giroux.
It's Claude.
What's up? Hey, listen, let's talk about what's going on. Proposed renovations. They want to build a bridge over the rink. What's up with that?
Well, I tell you what, though. I want someone to start a petition. I want that bridge named the Blue Shirt Banner Radio Bridge.
Listen,
And then Eddie and I can come in there on Wednesdays or Tuesdays or Thursdays and do the show right from the bridge. I think that would be fantastic.
That's funny. Listen, how long is it going to be before some drunk goes over the side, huh? I'm going to be throwing fish sticks at the Islanders when they show up. Oh, fine, good. They're going to put a suspended bridge over the rink. What's up with that?
I mean, think about it. I mean, how many Ranger fans are going to want to jump off that bridge? I mean, what is going on with this bridge? Is this going to be like a VIP thing, or we can just go over it at any time?
I think we're going to be able to go over it, under it, all over the place with it.
I mean,
but I tell you one thing, I wouldn't be getting any seats underneath it.
You're going to... I mean, you're gonna have couples up there trying to have sex.
Exactly.
You're gonna have a guy go up there exposing himself. Oh, it's gonna get ugly. I can't wait.
It's gonna be crazy. I'm telling you, crazy.
They should put ten bridges up there. That's what they should do.
I want a bridge to the cup. That's what I want.
Ten bridges and free beer.
On internet radio.
Five to Montreal. Getting an update from the chat room.
Oh,
five,
man.
5-2 Go Habs,
so
go.
What do you think about Donald Brashear's tenure as a Ranger, Claude?
Well, I think that, you know, his body sores notwithstanding, I think he gave us at least 60 seconds of a good fight. Other than that, I can't really say much about him.
Yeah.
But he does float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And I'm quick. Get on the puck. I'd give you a couple other things, too, if you were here. You know? What are you laughing about? You know, you were really warm in my cockles before. I got to tell you that.
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
More like he floats like a TV and it stings when he pees.
Hey, Jim, you never saw my impression of him, have you? Ask Eddie, it's pretty funny.
It is, it's very funny. I wish we had like a cam vision that goes on with it. Because I imagine when he's doing that float like a butterfly, he's like jamming and stuff and the whole thing.
Yeah, but you know what? While we're all laughing, he's hanging with Snoop. You know, he's collecting $1.8 million. He's all right.
Oh, yeah! Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah, exactly.
For
sure. He's okay. He'll be fine. Don't worry about him. Nouveau. All right, listen. I got to go. I got some body sores.
All right.
Catch you later.
Thanks for calling. Later.
Take care, Rhett.
Jesus. This is out of control. Chris is going to drive into Big Ben when he listens to this show tomorrow morning. Do you remember the night you had when you were doing Ranger Crisis Radio, and you had Carp on, and we were in the chat room naming names, like talking about Brashear. We were saying like Scatman Crothers. That's the role, and you start naming all these names off the Carp, and he's like, I'm not going to go there if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You remember that? Oh, my God. Talk about uncomfortable radio.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it was
great. Yeah, blow up here. This is the way it is.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. Oh, God. 631-974, you're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Who's this?
Yes, the crazy Greek.
Oh, my, look at this coming out. They're all coming out tonight. What's going on?
Nothing, guys. Like I said before, when I see all you guys, I owe you a drink. That's all I got to say about that.
I'm going to keep that in mind.
I owe all you guys a drink. Is Batman about this fool from crying in his beer when his beloved Ben's lose? Huh?
Oh, boy. I'm
going to be crying in his beer, man. He's going to be so upset.
I'm telling you, that Indian vampire is not going to get a wink of sleep tonight. You know, vampires are awake, so tomorrow afternoon he won't get any sleep knowing that... Sid the Squid and now AO. I mean, AO and now Sid the Squid are out of the playoffs. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Costa, we love you, but I got to ask, are you on the Get Smart Shoe phone or something?
I'm on the Bluetooth.
Oh, you're on the Bluetooth. Oh, okay. He's on the Stephanie Bagley Bluetooth.
But seriously. You think Phoenix is going to move, or they're going to stay fucked?
I think they're here for at least another year. I mean, you know, like I said before, the city's guaranteed the NHL's. You know, they're going to cover the NHL's losses. And the team will be here for at least another year. And then they're going to hope they find it. They got a year to find an owner, and then they'll go from there.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room just said the coast is in the cone of silence.
I think that experiment has failed, personally.
Yeah.
You think what?
I think if they move that team back to Winnipeg, you'll have sellouts every night.
I think so, too. I think it's a different. Go ahead.
Well, the only other, I agree with you as far as moving the team back to Winnipeg. They probably will sell out. I think they've got a plan in place, I think, to avoid what happened the first time. Like I said last night, some people were explaining it to me, and I don't want to get into it now because most people don't care. But it'll be interesting to see when next season starts here in Phoenix, and, you know, if the Coyotes keep their team intact, if people come out to support them. If they don't from day one, then I will be fully behind, you know, letting them go. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see now that they have a competitive team and a playoff team, you know, what happens. If the people here in the Valley don't support them, and to be honest with you, I don't know if they will. But if they don't, then, you know, then I'd be all for moving them somewhere else.
Another thing, did Brashear give him some cognac, some prostitutes, and some nice Cuban cigars to get a job? I mean, what the hell?
Prostitutes? Who is the LT? I don't know.
You see what happens when it's the off season? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, we gotta laugh when we've been crying over this ridiculous team.
Exactly.
And you're right. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out how he got rid of Scott Gomez, who's now moving on to the semifinals. But still. And then I guess that does speak to maybe that wasn't. So I'm not going to say anything about that. But, yeah. So, Coach, do you have anything else? I'm glad the crazy Greek called today. I'm glad he called tonight because, you know, I think it's just your first time, long time, right?
No, it's his first time.
All right, long time listener, I meant.
Yeah, long time listener, first time caller.
All right, Costa, we're going to take some other calls.
Go Habs, go, baby. Go Habs, go.
You know it.
All right. First time, long time, whack, whack.
Was he doing the Imus quack? Is that what that was supposed to be? That's great. All right. Back to the phones we go. Dave, Blue Seat Blogs, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I am calling representing the chat room, and I am just going to say that I am not prejudiced against Islander fans. I'm just prejudiced against one particular Islander fan, because, good Lord, John Newman, you suck.
Wow.
So you're representative of the chat room as a whole? Or is this a personal?
No, I'm pretty sure that's a hole. But,
Jesus. Dave, are you enjoying the show otherwise?
Yeah, I am. I just wanted to call in and say, good Lord, John Newman, you're horrible. And I really got nothing else to say. I'm good.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks for calling in.
All right, have a good day, guys.
You too. All right, so this has become, you know, like on Howard Stern, where they'll have Marianne from Brooklyn on, or he'll put Captain Jenks on, and then 10 minutes later, somebody else calls up and says, Howard, you got to get Jenks off the air. He sucks. What is with Marianne from Brooklyn? She's terrible. I can't stand her. People are crazy.
Not everybody's a fan of John Newman. He kind of swiped me. He didn't even say hello to me, so I'm going to have to agree with the chat room on this episode of this show. Maybe John Newman doesn't did suck.
You know, I'll tell you, tonight's performance, you know, insulting you right off the top of the bat, and then the whole pot fan thing from a couple of weeks ago. He's down in the polls. I'll tell you that his approval rating is down.
Like Congress's. Congress rating here. All right.
And why Brashear rather than Orr?
Well, we think that Brashear gives you a couple of other things. He's quicker. He can get it on the puck a little faster, and under the style of game that we're going to be playing, we just think that he's going to be a little more effective for us.
I'm sorry, what?
You had a request. Go ahead with your request.
Well, you know, on this show, we do like to take requests, and we just had Dave on from Blue Seat Blogs, and he asked for this.
New York Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Rissmiller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
Man, I would have loved to have sat in on that conference call. Oh my God!
Now,
I want to read you something really quick.
Twice tonight. Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
What did you say? Did you say can't get in a word?
I've been starting here for the last half hour. I can't get anything go.
I'm sorry.
So go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you guys have heard, but they're talking about Jerinev coming back to the Rangers, guys. This is what's been going around. I mean, I don't want to start a whole new string of things, but what do you think about that, Jim? What do the people in the chat room think about Nikolai Jerinev being signed to the Rangers?
Well,
is it going to happen?
First of all, let me just say that we did talk about it a little bit on Blue Shirt Banner, and we did talk about it here on the show, and there were some outlets that were reporting, I guess there were some reports that came from overseas that the Rangers were already in talks with him, which a certain Rangers beat reporter, who I won't name, but I will say that he's the only one to not have appeared on this show, not counting Michael Obernauer, and his name rhymes with B-Pay, and he writes for a newspaper called Blues Day, who is owned by Cablevision, and he said, the Rangers are absolutely not negotiating with Nikolai Jerinev. Don't believe what you read in the blogosphere. Now, keep in mind, again, who owns Newsday, and this is the same guy who said the Rangers don't do autograph signings after March 1st, and it's the same guy who said the Rangers aren't trading Alex Kotelik. That's all I got to say about that.
All right. Is this the same guy that I call Zipperhead? Steve Zipperhead? Is he the same guy that they're charging people to read Newsday online? Meanwhile, is they get like 8 people who have actually subscribed to that since that went over? Let me tell you something, Zipperhead. You're a know-nothing has-been. If it wasn't for the blogosphere, you probably wouldn't get half your articles. If it wasn't for this show, you wouldn't get 3/4 of your article. Zipperhead, you're not a friend of mine, you're not a friend of Jimmy the Gems, and you're not a fan of anybody in this chat room. Get the hell out of me. You don't like the blogosphere? It's called the future. Future is here, my friend. Stop combing your hair over to the side. Stop, whatever you do, whatever old-time things you do, like play shuffleboard or whatever you do, this is technology. The future's here,
balls.
What?
Bocce balls.
Yeah. Stop playing with your bocce balls, Zipperhead. So you can, if he's denying it, then you know it's close to being true. So.
Right. This just in: Rangers signed Jerinev 5 years.
Right.
All right. Now we got. Let's see. What do we got? 25 minutes left in the show, And we got the Canadians and Penguins winding down. And I believe we have Zach on the line who wanted to give us an update on the game. Zach, are you there?
I am here. What's going on, guys?
What's going on with the game?
It's 2:40 to go. Penguins have the puck in the Montreal zone. Now it's at the point. Gonchar passes the other guy, shoots, and Halak stops it.
What's the score?
It's 5-2 Montreal, 2:32 to go in the game. Penguins still on a power play with 3 seconds left. And supposedly they pulled their goalie.
This is just unbelievable. The Stanley Cup champions going out in the second round.
The Canadians.
The President's Trophy, Washington Capitals, went out in the first round.
Really?
If that could happen, then anything could happen. And I'm sorry, I hate to knock on my friends who are Bruins fans, and I hate to knock on all my friends, including me, who are Ranger fans, but I'm rooting for Montreal to win the Cup now. I don't care who they play in the conference finals. I want Montreal to win the Cup.
I'm just shocked. I know Ovechkin was I always thought that team was more of a one-trick pony, even though they have Salmon and a couple of guys, but I really didn't think Pittsburgh had been there. And maybe it's true. Them losing Skinner and Hal Gill from last year may have hurt them. But, again, they ran into a hot goaltender. But I really thought they had that series in the bag at one point. They looked like they had the momentum. But, I mean, you got to take your cap off to the Canadians. That have it all has risen like a phoenix. Not like phoenix, because that means you would move.
Right, we should move to Winnipeg. What?
Jackie's yelling
this
at me
series
right
was.
Now. She's saying
this
that
series was
going to take it all the way.
Pittsburgh was up 3-1 in this series, weren't they?
No. Game four.
No. Okay.
Montreal won.
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize. And okay. I know nobody's really paying attention to it, but. Philly's ahead 2-0 on Boston late in the second period, so that game could be going to a game 7.
Unbelievable. The Bruins were up 3-0, and if the Flyers win, then there's going to be an explosion in Boston.
Wow.
It is just unbelievable. The Flyers, of all teams.
That series, to me, is like nobody wants to win it. No, obviously, Philly's coming back. But it seems to me...
Power play goal, 4-3.
Out of all the series, that seems to be featuring what I would consider the fourth best team. And I think the West is far and above, and that's no secret. In hockey land, the West is much better than the East. But hot goaltending, and hopefully your man Halak can win it all for you. Although I'm rooting for the Blackhawks. The wife is from Chicago. I like the youngsters.
I was originally rooting for the Blackhawks or the Bruins under the assumption that the Canadians were going to be wiped out by the Capitals in the first round. Who knew that they were going to beat them in 7 games? Who knew they were going to beat the Penguins in 7 games? 45 seconds left, 5-2 Montreal. They're going to win it. Who would ever thought that would happen?
I, after Phoenix was out, I said on Blue Shirt Banner that Montreal was my new dark horse, so it's nice to see them proving me right. But getting back to the Philly game, Michael Layton, who hasn't played in 2 months, and he's shutting out the Bruins. Now I know the Bruins aren't an offensive powerhouse, but I mean that's.
That's
still got to take your hat off
for the
guy.
Story right there. They've just been plagued by injuries in net. Emery was supposed to be the number one guy, then he got out injured. That whoever the backup was to Emery was out with an injury. Then they call up Layton, and he was doing fantastic. That he gets injured, and you have Boucher in there just saving the team to get into the playoffs because, the Rangers were terrible last game, but they still got in the playoffs. Boucher just carried them. Past the Devils, and then Boucher gets injured just in time for Layton to get back. That's the Cinderella story right there.
I don't know. They're doing it with smoke and mirrors because both those goalies. Boucher's played well, but Michael Layton. I saw him up close at a Ranger game. He's terrible. But Ellis, he's getting the job done. And we appreciate you. The update. I love the live call. Is my favorite.
All right. Well, to a quick update. Let
me ask you a quick question. Since you're watching the game, the Penguins. The Penguins fans, have they stayed, or have they started to file out?
From what I can see, a lot of them are still there and they are standing. But the Montreal Canadiens fans are clearly visible. Now, by the looks of it, the Penguin fans are actually applauding the Penguins for a wonderful season, despite them losing. So you can hear the fans are pretty loud. So I guess everybody's still there.
Okay, I was just curious because I always remember that about the Rangers when they went down in 95 to the Flyers, how the fans stayed and you know the game was, you know, they were down to the last minute, the game was over, they knew the series was over, and the Cup run was over, you know, and you know they weren't going to be Stanley Cup champions again, but the fans stayed and I always remember a Let's Go Rangers chant starting up in the last minute. And the fans, you know, saluting the team. So I was just curious how the Penguin fans were reacting.
In the 2006 playoffs, the Ranger fans did the same thing. It was game four. We were about to be swept by the Devils. And it was our first postseason appearance since eons ago. And so the fans were applauding. And it's now official. The Canadiens have won it and advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Wow.
Whoopee!
Shocker.
What's so
that is a shocker.
That is an ultimate shot. So Sid the Squid and A-Ho Love Chicken is out. Gary Bettman's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Gary Bettman's going to cry.
As the executives at NBC scramble for a new marketing plan.
Whoever he gives the cup to this season, you could just see the sadness on his face because he can't hand it back to Crosby.
Absolutely.
That Broadway.
Like, let's say, for example, the Sharks end up winning the Cup. He's going to be like, I want to congratulate the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, the San Jose Sharks and whoever their opponents were. You know, one hell of a team, a very young team, although Crosby was better. So whoever's the captain, come get the Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing Bettman, he'll have Crosby present the Cup.
It's FaceTime for
He's gonna put him in a little stroller, and he's gonna wheel him out there. He's gonna have his pacifier in his mouth, and he's gonna grab the cup. He's gonna scream, "Mine, mine!"
Mario could wheel him out.
All right.
All right,
Zach. Take care, Zach. Let me get to the roll call because they're clamoring here.
This is important.
It's important. It's important to me. I need to recognize all the fans out there, and I got to say, it's been a great show so far. I've had a lot of fun, and I know, Jim, me and you've been cracking up all night.
Would you say maybe this is our funniest show? We've had some good ones, but
no, you got to listen back to it. I haven't been listening back to the shows lately. Anyway. The Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Rapid Fire Ranger Roll Call, the Hungry Hippo Holla, for Wednesday, May 12, 2010, the Ace of Spades. Now, usually I save this and I sing, or attempt to sing, a Motorhead song. But you know what? I'm not going to do it. But I want you to, if you people have ever seen lead singer of Motorhead, Lemmy, notice the big, big birthmark skin. Stop instant messaging me for the roll call. I have to concentrate. I cannot multitask at the age of 45. He has a big skin condition that is just pus-filled. It's disgusting. And that's when I eat the spade, that's what I have to say. Right now, I'm thinking of Lemmy's disgusting skin tag, or whatever they call that. Avery Rules! Ladies and gentlemen, Avery Rules came on this show and he made me laugh. And that's all that matters in this world. If you make me laugh, you've won the battle. Avery Rules, who loves Donald Brashear so much that he does a great invitation for him. City Hockey Fever, one of the few people who will be disappointed if the Phoenix Coyotes move out of Phoenix or Arizona. I'm sorry. I know you live out there. I know you want Phoenix to do well. But I have never thought of hockey in the desert as a place it should have been. Nothing grows in the desert, I've said, except cactus. And that's the truth. Bruce Cohen Hockey. That's right, Bruce Cohen Hockey. He's got a hockey school, that Bruce Cohen. It's a rod hockey school. That's right, he'll teach you the rod hockey. He'll teach you about rod hockey in his one-week at-home course. He'll teach you such plays as the one-timer from the left wing, the jam shot, and playing without a goalie. I don't know where that was going. Tucci Wally! That's right, Tucci Wally, one of the old-time greats. Always here, always on time, punctual and perfunct. Tucci Wally, thank you for joining us. And the first time, long time, whack, whack, host of the Crazy Greek. He is one crazy mother humper. Host of the Crazy Greek, thank you for joining us. Dave from Blue Seat Blogs. Dave, I have to say, you were quick and to the point, unlike most of our callers tonight. So for that, I salute you. Frosty, 99, you got to love Tony. Tony is the man, Tony the Tiger. He's great. Frosty, loving the Frank Beaton, because Frosty, of course, actually knows who Frank Beaton is, most like this young crowd here that doesn't know. Guest 45, 60, and guest 65, 82. You failed to log in. Therefore, I cannot give you any kind of remotely funny nickname. I just can guess who you are, and I bet you're two nice, fine young people. But next time, God damn it, log in! The technology is here. We can do this. We can rebuild them. Jackie Lomba, alias the Brazilian Bombshell. She's a woman who's got more moves than a bowl of Jell-O, and she's twice as tasty. Jackie Lomba, fist buds for you. Yog 68, gotta love this girl. A Ranger fan to the max of the hilt, and now she's dealing with a drunken husband who's doing Donald Brashear imitations. Yog 68, fist buds for you. James Dolan, CEO MSG. Elias James, James, I'm going to insult the James there. John from Paramus. John Newman. John, I don't know what to say at this point. Jay of the Dead. Jay of the Dead. Jay has arisen from the grave to come back and stab to death. Right, only. Jay of the Dead, that would be a zombie. He's come back to eat the skulls of the brainless. Mainly Glenn Sather and Wade Redd, I guess. And then Mandar, who's keeping it real in the field in North Carolina at this point, down south, the only Ranger fan in the whole state, I believe. Mandar is equipped with Ranger knowledge unparalleled and a voracious fast food appetite that used to rival my friend, but now dieter, Jim Schmiedeberg. Marcy Braverman, holy cow. Let me tell you something about one. You read her Facebook page, let me tell you. It's like Playboy Channel-esque on that page. They're talking about everything over there. All I can say is that some of your friends who talk like that, especially the female ones, should post more candid pics, if you know what I mean. But Marcy Braverman, a great Ranger fan, always speaks her mind, and we love it. Keep those retro jerseys, those retro hats coming. I love it. Mr. French, he's a family affair. He's with Buffy and Jody and Sissy and all those people. Mr. French, he's in a trench from Family Affair, the great Sebastian Cabot. Sebastian Cabot, who was known also for his role as Mr. French. Frankly, nobody remembers him from anything else. And remember the little girl's doll? Her name was Mrs. Beasley. And then there's me, Ranger Crisis, Ranger Dude 35, calling the action. Oh, he called in, and he called in that Pittsburgh lost. Sidney Crosby goes down to the Montreal Canadiens. Holy manoli cannoli tromboli! I can't believe it! I can't believe it! That Pittsburgh is eliminated, and the Les Habitants goes on. Stand from Bayside. That's Bayside Queens, my friend. Bayside Queens is a tough neck of the woods. Not too many people come out from Bayside, but then again, a lot of people don't want to go into Bayside Queens, because let's face it, it's a crap hole. And the anti-woot, who was an anti-social dimwit. No, wait, no. He's an anti-social superior entity all upon himself. The anti-woot is starting a movement. A movement, and not a bowel movement. A movement to get people from screaming woot in chat rooms. He doesn't want you to see you get excited. He thinks you should downplay things. And that's the way it goes in internet land, and you better get used to it. The anti-woot and everybody in this damn chat room, I love you. I love you. I love you so much that it hurts. Frankly, it hurts. And anyway, that is the Ranger Rapid Fire, Blue Shirt Banner Ranger, Hippo Holler Ranger, Rapid Fire roll call for tonight. The incredible night of laughs and the circus of the stars from April 2010. Thank you, guys. And I'm sorry people are leaving in droves because of Newman. Newman, get your act together. Stop acting like an idiot. All right, next.
That's it? That's the end of the roll call.
Yeah, I got it all done.
Okay. And again, one more time, hello to Chris over in the UK and Jonathan from Australia, who usually checks us out on the podcast.
Yes.
So we got just under 8 minutes to go. We'll take another phone call. We got a Skype call on the line. And let's pull them up. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's me. It's Paul. How are you?
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
How's things?
Good. What's going on?
Not much. Some computer trouble tonight, but I'm on, and I caught a little bit of the show the last half hour. How's things?
Everything's okay. I heard you were a little under the weather.
Yeah, I'm fighting a bad cold all week, but, you know, change of season, I guess, but I'm hanging in there.
I kind of felt that way myself, change of season. So how do you feel now? First love chicken, and now Sidney Crosby out?
They're showing a picture now. It looks like Montreal on Versus. I don't know if anyone has it on. Sure, there's going to be an all-night celebration there outside the Bell Center. Wow, looks like a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, that's going crazy. I mean,
they will be partying on St. Catherine Street well into the evening.
Yeah, I mean, you ask Jim. Jim loves Montreal.
Oh, absolutely. Love it. Great city.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to ask you, I mean, are you over your anti-torts? Are you still as passionate, or now you're into the Mets? I know you're involved with sports and coaching and all that stuff, but are you still as hell-bent on getting rid of torts? Are you still in that camp?
Yes, I am, but you know what it is? I'm so confident. Everyone's saying give Tortorella another year. It's almost like give him some more rope to hang himself. And I still say that come, maybe not during this coming season, but he'll be gone halfway through the following season at most. That's how.
Wow.
Yeah. I told you, his resume to me is very, very thin. You know, everyone can get on the bandwagon about him winning the cup, but if you look at his resume, it's absolutely horrible that he's coached 9 years in this league, and I think 4 or 5 years he hasn't made the playoffs. And other than the cup year, he's only won one playoff series.
No, his record stinks. It really does. If you go look at his one-loss record, it stinks.
I'm laughing because Jackie Womb is getting mad is because you're talking about turds. I mean, Tortorella. Oh. And Marcy's saying you're incorrect. And, you know that. I mean, and she is right. You know, Marcy's been on this program once, and you know, again, you know, we're monitoring each other on Facebook. She is right. The player's got to be accountable too, Paul. I mean, it, you know, you know, you've seen a lot. And I understand your worries. Believe me, I understand your worries, but I think if he doesn't produce this year, next year, yes, I think you're going to start now. It's going to get the pressure it's going to be on. You know, but I don't think I can't foresee him getting fired in the middle of the season. I can't see them doing that. Because who are you going to put in there?
But Mouth, why is it? Oh, I mean, you know what? I'm sort of answering my own question. I know it's New York. Everybody wants a name guy to come in, but you know all these other teams find, you know, like an up and coming guy. They find someone down in the, you know, the AHL. They find someone somewhere. Why do we always have to? There's, you know, everyone always says, well, who's going to come in? Why can't we think out of the box for a change? Why do we always have to bring someone in with a name? I know it's New York. I'm sort of answering my own question, but. I mean, I'm sure if they look around, there's a guy somewhere who deserves a chance to come up and coach a team in the NHL. Right or wrong?
Yeah. No, you're right.
I agree with you.
You know, it's always got to be a name guy. It's always, you know, Mike Keenan and the other guy escapes me right now. I can't think. There's someone else I wanted to say. But, you know, it's always got to be a name guy. Why does it always have to be someone that's coached before in the NHL? I mean, for God's sake, for, 10 years ago, who was Mike Babcock when he started coaching in the league? You know, no one knew him when he took over, right? I mean,
Or Dave Tippett.
Dave Tippett.
Lafayette.
Is it? Do you think it's a PR move that they went after a name like John Tortorella, which to me would make no sense since hockey isn't followed. I mean, you get no media coverage. So to the normal sports fan, you could say John Tortorella, and they would think he was a first-year coach if you didn't follow hockey. Or do you think they just don't have, like, they wouldn't know a good coach unless something glaring like a Stanley Cup ring like Tortorella had. That was the reason that they got him. They said, well, he's won a Stanley Cup. Let's get him.
Exactly.
That's what you think.
Mouth, let's face it, a lot of people like Tortorella because he's New York, you know. He's fiery. He's got the chip on his shoulder. People like that. But, you know, if you look beyond that, you know, I'm going to keep saying this. To me, he's failed in a season and a quarter here in New York so far. You know, he came in the first season. We got into the playoffs. We had a 3-1 lead. And I still say his antics in the Washington series helped suck the life out of the team. And we wound up getting knocked out. And then this past year, I mean, how, you know, of course now, like Montreal upsetting Pittsburgh, but, you know, the conference was so inconsistent all year. How did we not get into the playoffs this year? I mean, at the All-Star break, I think 9 of the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference, the previous 10 games, had played under 500 hockey. I'm just using that as a point, like how inconsistent the conference was all year, and how did we not get into the top 8 to get into the playoffs? I don't understand this.
Yeah, well,
I don't.
I mean, some of it could be blamed, if you want to go on your point, the fact that they had to change their style after 30 games. When he figured that the go-go-go style was not going to work, and then it had to become a defensive style. After he had told certain players they had to become more offensive, and then it was like, listen, we don't have the horses here. They surely had the chances down the stretch. We all know it in the last 10, 15 games to do something. I feel that in the end, the players had a chance to take it, and there weren't enough players that could really had the muscle, the part and parcel to take it. I said this on previous programs. There were about 4 or 5 Rangers I saw who really wanted it. Mark Stahl was one of them. I thought Dubinsky, and the Rangers had a lot of injuries. Now, I'm not saying, I know you're talking about the halfway part, and that's a great point. But again, I really think it came down to, you know, the players, especially when it really was under the gun. That's all I got to say because I know we got like 30 seconds left.
Yeah, but before we go to podcast, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday night. And, Eddie, always a pleasure. Thanks for pulling those clips there, keeping us laughing. It's great stuff. So we'll see you guys all next week, and catch us on the podcast.
All right. Take care,
everybody. We're streaming. We've got the podcast, and I have brought Mandar on as well. Hi, Mandar. How are you?
Hello.
What was going on in the chat room? What's going on?
It's the same as always. It's madness, I tell you. It's sheer madness.
We've come a long way from the days of when it was five people chatting back and forth in there. That's for sure.
The conference call.
It was a giant conference call, right? I don't know, but I tell you, I'm really surprised at this. I mean, I know, I don't think we can really underestimate Pittsburgh getting found. I really thought Halak. I don't know. You think about it, Luongo failed, and Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, he won the Cup last year, but he was another guy who's been under fire, not being able to. I guess when you get one, that kind of takes the onus off of you, but your goaltender's got to step up. But I kudos to Montreal for what they did.
Hey, they never stopped hustling, but in the third period, they pulled the Rangers against the Flyers. They were just laying back the whole time until they finally got a power play.
I can't believe
Philly's coming back, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's great playoffs. Good times, good times. My Dusty Muffins. Good times.
I forgot to ask you about that. How funny was that the other night?
Man, that'd be a great screen name. Dusty Muffins?
I mean, I've been watching Saturday Night Live a long time, and there are very few episodes where I've laughed through the entire show. Like, I mean, my wife and I were just hysterical laughing. She even managed to make that stupid MacGruber thing funny.
Yeah, I know, right? And they made a movie out of that somehow.
Ugh.
Got good reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, nay.
I've been banned to see it, but I'm going to see it anyway.
No, don't.
Pat and John, Pat banned me to see it.
I can't say that I blame him.
I will see it probably on the back end of a double feature. But anyway, guys, it was a great show. That was a lot of fun, man. I tell you, I snorted. I haven't snorted laughing in years.
Oh, yeah, it was a good time tonight. I can't wait to go back and listen to it.
All right.
Oh, and I'll say, I have an Andrew Gross article that he wrote about Tortorella for Blue Shirt Bulletin that I was going to read tonight, but I'll save it. It'll make good fodder for next week.
Well, I like
so,
it.
All right. You'll find it interesting, I think.
We should get Andrew.
You'll find it interesting.
Get in touch with Andrew Gross and see if you can get him on. I'll talk to Carl.
Hey,
all right,
Mouth, Mouth, before I run, you have any shows coming up local? Or?
Yeah, I do. I have one in Center Reach, I think. I'll email you with the date. I think it's in 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
And I hope you feel better, bro.
Thanks, Eddie. Say hello to everyone.
Take care,
Eddie. All right. Good night. Good night, man.
Feel better, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Eddie. Bye-bye.
Take care.